The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article from theteenmagazine.com, What Are Microaggressions and Why They Need to End? And this article was written by Ashna Agarwal. In the realm of human interaction, the effects of discrimination and prejudice are not always loud and overt. They can be insidious, operating beneath the surface in seemingly innocuous comments, gestures, or behaviors. These subtle acts of discrimination are known as microaggressions. Microaggressions are the everyday slights, insults, and belittling behaviors that target individuals based on their race, gender, sexual orientation, or other aspects of their identity. Despite their subtlety, microaggressions can have profound and lasting impacts on individuals and communities, contributing to a broader culture of marginalization and inequity. Microaggressions are often unintentional and may stem from unconscious biases that people hold. These biases are formed by societal norms, media portrayals, and personal experiences. Thus, individuals may perpetrate microaggressions without realizing the harm they cause. For instance, a white person might ask an Asian American, "Where are you really from?" implying that they are not a true American due to their ethnicity. While the question may seem harmless, it highlights the assumption that people of color are perpetual outsiders. Microaggressions can be categorized into three types: microassaults, microinsults, and microinvalidations. Microassaults are explicit, purposeful actions intended to harm someone, such as using racial slurs. Microinsults are subtler, often conveyed through dismissive comments or gestures that demean an individual's identity. Microinvalidations undermine a person's experiences by invalidating their emotions or identity. For instance, telling someone from the LGBTQ+ community that you're too sensitive when they express discomfort with a discriminatory joke is a microinvalidation. Here are common types of microaggressions: racial microaggressions, microassaults. These are explicit and purposeful actions that involve using racial slurs, making racially derogatory comments, or engaging in other overtly racist behaviors. Microinsults. These are subtle actions or comments that belittle or demean a person's racial identity, often by implying that their achievements are due to affirmative action rather than merit. Microinvalidations. These are dismissive behaviors that negate or invalidate a person's experiences related to their racial identity, such as saying, "I don't see color," or "We're all human beings." Gender microaggressions. Microassaults. These can include explicit sexist remarks, derogatory comments about a person's appearance, or offensive jokes targeting a specific gender. Microinsults. These are subtle actions that undermine a person's competence or worth based on their gender, such as assuming a woman is less capable in a certain field. Microinvalidations. These involve negating a person's gender identity or minimizing their experiences, such as telling a transgender person that they are just confused. LGBTQ+ microaggressions. Microassaults. These might involve using homophobic or transphobic slurs, making explicit derogatory comments about someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. Microinsults. These can include comments that question the legitimacy of someone's LGBTQ+ identity or assume that all LGBTQ+ people are the same. Microinvalidations. These involve ignoring or denying the experiences of LGBTQ individuals, such as telling someone that their sexual orientation is just a phase. disability microaggressions, microassaults. These could involve mocking or imitating the person's disability, using derogatory terms related to disabilities, or intentionally excluding them from activities. Microinsults. These are subtle actions that demean a person's abilities or reinforce stereotypes about disabilities. Microinvalidations. These involve ignoring or denying the challenges that people with disabilities face, such as assuming they are faking their condition. Cultural microaggressions. Microassaults. These might involve making fun of someone's cultural practices or traditions, using derogatory terms related to their ethnicity, or engaging in cultural appropriation. Microinsults. These could include comments that exoticize or stereotype a person's culture, or assume that they speak a certain language because of their appearance. Microinvalidations. These involve minimizing or dismissing the significance of a person's cultural background, such as saying, "You're so lucky to be diverse." It's important to recognize that microaggressions can take many forms and can intersect with multiple aspects of an individual's identity. Understanding and addressing these subtle acts of discrimination is crucial for creating inclusive environments where everyone feels respected and valued. Impact of microaggressions. The cumulative impact of microaggressions is significant. While each instance might appear minor on its own, the constant barrage can lead to a sense of hypervigilance and emotional exhaustion for marginalized individuals. They might question their own experiences, wondering whether they are overreacting or whether the discrimination is even real. This phenomenon is often referred to as racial battle fatigue or identity-based battle fatigue. Over time, these experiences can erode self-esteem, contribute to stress-related health issues, and hinder personal and professional growth. 1. Psychological impact. Microaggressions can cause psychological distress, erode self-esteem, and contribute to feelings of frustration, anger, and isolation. They create a hostile environment that undermines a person's sense of belonging and worth. 2. Emotional toll. Repeated exposure to microaggressions can lead to chronic stress, anxiety, and even depression. The accumulation of these subtle slights over time can take a toll on an individual's mental well-being. 3. Undermining competence. Microaggressions that question an individual's skills or competence based on their identity can affect their confidence and performance. This is known as stereotype threat, where individuals fear confirming negative stereotypes about their group. 4. Relationship strain. Microaggressions can strain interpersonal relationships. They create discomfort and erode trust, leading to strained interactions between individuals or groups. 5. Internalization. Those who experience microaggressions may internalize the negative messages, leading to self-doubt and self-blame. This can further contribute to mental health challenges. 6. Impact on identity. Microaggressions can make individuals question or suppress aspects of their identity to fit in or avoid further slights. This can lead to a sense of disconnection from one's true self. 7. Cultural climate. Microaggressions contribute to a toxic cultural climate, perpetuating biases and stereotypes. They reinforce a system where people from marginalized groups are made to feel inferior. Barriers to inclusion. In organizational settings, microaggressions can create barriers to diversity and inclusion. They discourage individuals from participating fully and can result in attrition from underrepresented groups. 9. Educational and professional opportunities. Microaggressions can limit access to educational and professional opportunities. If individuals are consistently undermined, their chances of success and advancement can be hindered. 10. community impact. Microaggressions collectively affect marginalized communities, fostering a sense of shared discrimination and reinforcing systemic inequalities. Addressing microaggressions requires raising awareness, educating people about their impact, and fostering a culture of inclusivity and respect. Recognizing and challenging these subtle forms of bias is crucial for creating a more equitable and supportive environment for everyone. How to put an end to microaggressions. Ending microaggressions requires a collective effort to raise awareness, challenge biases, and promote inclusivity. Here are some steps that individuals, communities, and institutions can take to address and ultimately eliminate microaggressions. Education and awareness. Educate yourself about different forms of microaggressions, their impact, and the experiences of marginalized communities. Understanding the harm caused by microaggressions is the first step towards addressing them. Engage in self-reflection to identify your own biases and assumptions. Becoming aware of your unconscious biases can help you take steps to mitigate them. Open communication. Foster open and respectful conversations about microaggressions within your personal and professional circles. Encourage individuals to share their experiences without fear of judgment. Create safe spaces where people can express concerns and provide feedback about microaggressions without facing backlash. Intervene and call out. If you witness a microaggression, consider intervening in a respectful manner. Gently point out the impact of the comment or behavior and explain why it is problematic. Encourage bystanders to speak up as well. When multiple people address a microaggression, it sends a stronger message that such behavior is not acceptable. Promote inclusive language. Be mindful of the language you use. Avoid assumptions about someone's identity and use inclusive language that respects individual choices and experiences. Educate others about the importance of using respectful and appropriate language, both in casual conversations and professional settings. Cultural competency training. Organizations, schools, and institutions can offer training programs on cultural competence, unconscious bias, and diversity and inclusion. These programs help individuals recognize and address microaggressions. Regularly update and reinforce these training sessions to ensure that awareness remains high and new employees or students are adequately educated. Diverse representation. In the media, literature, and educational materials, we prioritize accurate and diverse representation of various identities. This can help challenge stereotypes and promote understanding. Advocate for increased diversity in decision-making roles and leadership positions, as this can influence policies and practices that address microaggressions. Policy and reporting mechanisms. Establish clear policies that define unacceptable behavior, including microaggressions, and the consequences for perpetrating them. Communicate these policies to all members of an organization or community. Implement reporting mechanisms for incidents of microaggressions, ensuring that individuals have a safe and confidential way to report such behavior. Promote empathy and empowerment. Encourage individuals to actively listen to others' experiences and perspectives. Empathy can help people better understand the impact of their words and actions. Empower individuals from marginalized groups to share their stories and advocate for change. Amplifying their voices can lead to greater awareness and action. Continuous self-evaluation. Regularly assess your own behavior and interactions to identify areas for improvement. Personal growth requires ongoing reflection and effort to address biases. Report systemic change. Recognize that microaggressions are often symptomatic of deeper systemic issues. support initiatives that address structural inequalities, and work towards creating a more just and equitable society. In conclusion, microaggressions are subtle yet harmful acts of discrimination that perpetuate a culture of marginalization and inequity. Recognizing and addressing these behaviors requires active efforts to unlearn biases, foster open conversations, and promote inclusivity. By collectively striving to eliminate microaggressions, we can pave the way towards a more just and equitable society, where individuals of all identities can thrive without fear of subtle discrimination. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, A Look into Every Era of Miley Cyrus, Journey from Child Actor to Pop Icon. And this article was written by Adya Argowal. Miley Cyrus. Whatever I write about her is not enough. She is a force of nature. She is, and forever will be, remembered as one of the greatest singers of her time. Her songs are popular and widely appreciated because of the raw and guttural feel to them. The audience can actually feel every single word that she sings deep in their souls. She has pure talent, and that is clearly portrayed in her work. She is ever so real with the way she projects herself and the raw talent with which she sings. Smiley Miley. Her sunny and outgoing personality as a child gave her the nickname of Smiley Miley, which was later shortened to Miley. She changed her name, Destiny Hope, to Miley Ray Cyrus in January 2008. Ray was added as a tribute to her grandfather, Ronald Ray Cyrus, whom she loved to pieces, and Miley to honor her childhood nickname. She was so heartbroken by the passing away of her grandfather that she wrote a song, I Miss You, just to cope with it. Most of us know her as an extremely powerful and raw singer, but what we fail to remember is that she was an actor first and a singer second. She grew up in the world of show business. Her father, Billy Ray Cyrus, was a country singer and an actor, and she subsequently followed in her father's footsteps. Her first acting role came when she was around 8 years old. She played alongside her father in the movie Doc. She later went on to play several other roles in movies like Big Fish. The Hannah Montana phase. But her big break came a little later in 2005 when she landed the lead role in the Disney series Hannah Montana. This show put her on the map, and she became extremely popular among children and teens. She played the role of a teen living a double life as a pop star, which is quite ironic because she was technically one herself. The show was a smash and hit record. Sellout tours and merchandising deals soon followed. One thing which is not common knowledge is that she had originally auditioned for Lily, Hannah's best friend, but her audition went so spectacularly that she got the lead role. Building up on her role as Hannah, she debuted as a singer in Hannah Montana 2. This marks the end of Hannah's career. Following her Hannah Montana song debut, her music career flourished abundantly. Miley Cyrus's album Breakout topped the Billboard album chart in 2008. Her song Party in the USA was the Billboard Top 10 for 16 weeks, which is extremely amazing. Alongside this, she continued her acting career by playing roles in movies like Bolt and the adaptation of the novel The Last Song. Later on in that year, she released another album that included some very popular hits like See You Again and Seven Things. The Rebellion and the Bangers Era. Due to years of working closely together with her father, she became extremely rebellious. During the Bangers Era, she was known for sticking out her tongue, for which she explained the reason to Billboard in 2017 that she was confused as to how to act, and sticking her tongue out was an instantaneous reaction. I was so embarrassed to be on the red carpet, and so many of those effing disgusting photographers would tell me to blow a kiss, and that's not me. I don't want to blow you a kiss. I didn't know what to do with my face, so I stuck my tongue out, and it became a rebellious punk rock thing, she added. As she matured and turned 20, she was unable to connect with her previously written songs and those songs she was singing written by others. This led to her Bangers era. Bangers was in a completely opposite spectrum to her previous albums. Those were centered around pop, while it took an adventurous route and was more around hip-hop. Although her songs We Can't Stop, F.U., and Love Money Party were hits, the opening track Adore You was the song which reintroduced Miley Cyrus with a tender and loving side. The main goal behind Banger was to show Miley's fun side with a touch of maturity. Oren Yoel, who co-wrote and produced Bangers with Miley, was greatly inspired by her and said that while the album embraces excess, it also showed tenderness. It portrayed Miley as a humble person. What's great about her in general is that she's willing to just put herself out there and to show her true feelings, he said. That's real art. And there's not a lot of people that are willing to do that. Oren Yoel. In her ongoing music career, she has collaborated with a lot of sensational singers, such as Ariana Grande, Lana Del Rey, Dua Lipa, and Billy Idol. Her music and acting career has been a huge success, with almost all of her songs being greatly appreciated by her fans. She has also written a single, Inspired, for Hillary Clinton during Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. Thank you, Hillary, for being a constant beacon of strength, hope, and determination for me and millions of other young women, Miley Cyrus expressed her gratitude to Hillary Clinton on an episode of The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon in 2017. Recently, in January 2023, she released a single, Flowers, which debuted at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100, Global 200, and Global 200 XL U.S. charts. This song also accomplished in beating her most popular single, Wrecking Ball. Miley Cyrus released Flowers after her divorce from her short-term husband, Liam Hemsworth, and it depicts her overcoming his alleged betrayal and becoming a strong and self-assuring individual. Sobriety. Like most celebrities in Hollywood, she was also exposed to drugs and was for a very long time completely consumed by them. In her early 20s, she was explicitly seen as using drugs. She has stated in many of her interviews that weed is the best drug ever. She is known for dabbling in various different types of drugs like weed, salvia, and marijuana, but never cocaine. That, she believes, is an extremely dark and dirty drug. But since then, her relationship with both drugs and alcohol has taken a 360-degree turn. In one of her interviews, she said, "Haven't done drugs in years. Honestly, I never try to, again, be a fortune teller. I try to not be naive. Things effing happen. But from sitting here with you right now, I would say it would have to be a cold day in hell for me to relapse on drugs." One of her major reasons behind becoming sober was that she did not want to join the 27 group celebrities who die due to substance abuse before the age of 27. This was her major motivation to become sober. Although she did have a relapse during the pandemic, she quickly recovered and has been sober ever since. She also claimed in her interview for Apple Music's New Daily News that she loves the feeling of being sober and is moving above her peers' views of what is expected and what is not. All in all, becoming sober has been very favorable to Miley Cyrus. It's really hard because, especially being young, there's that stigma of, you're no fun, she added. It's like, honey, you can call me a lot of things, but I know that I'm fun. The thing that I love about it is waking up 100%. 100% of the time. I don't want to wake up feeling groggy. I want to wake up feeling ready. Unpopular facts. 1. Miley Cyrus is the founder of the Happy Hippie Foundation. According to their website, their mission is to rally young people to fight injustice facing homeless youth, LGBTQ youth, and other vulnerable populations. 2. The country legend Dolly Parton is her godmother. 3. She is also an extremely talented visual artist, along with being a singer and an actor. Miley Cyrus is the perfect example to show that people can evolve over time. She began her career as a Disney actress, faced several obstacles, conquered them, and is now an extremely successful singer whose songs resonate in the hearts of millions of people. And our next article from TeenVogue.com. Rihanna secretly gives birth to second baby boy. And this article was written by Caitlin McNabb. Rihanna and A$AP Rocky are officially the parents of two. On August 21st, TMZ reported that the Aunties singer secretly welcomed her second baby boy earlier this month in Los Angeles on August 3rd, 2023. Not many more details are available about the newest addition to the family, but according to TMZ, it's confirmed that Riri and Rocky are continuing the alliteration trend and have picked another R name for their second son. Rihanna and A$AP Rocky's first child together, RZA, named in homage to the legendary Wu-Tang rapper of the same name, was born on May 13, 2022. Rihanna announced her second pregnancy earlier this year in the most iconic way possible, revealing her surprise special guest while headlining in the 2023 Super Bowl halftime show. Rihanna has revolutionized maternity fashion, taking over red carpets and the Met Gala for nearly 2 years straight. Her topless maternity photo shoot, which she shared to social media a few days after RZA's first birthday, nearly broke the internet. In the caption, Ri noted that this was the 2022 edition of the shoot, and the post was to be continued. We can't wait to see what else she has in store for us. Maybe another editorial family portrait with newly appointed big bro RZA? Earlier this year, Rihanna, Rocky, and RZA covered British Vogue. While speaking to the outlet, Rihanna called motherhood legendary. "It's everything," she said fondly. "You really don't remember life before. That's the craziest thing ever." Congratulations to the happy family. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.